What's Europe missing right now? The response is they have a deficit of brain. Can I give the floor to Mr. Köppel? He's the main representative of the German language here. Roger Köppel from Switzerland, please. Please, but this is...
It's Switzerland.
Grüezi miteinander. Thank you very much, Mr. President. That was a very impressive, outstanding evening. I've never seen a leader of your stature communicating on this level so long, so late in the evening. Congratulations. It's fantastic. However, I want to challenge your term collective West. Probably I'm considered to be part of the collective West. I don't consider myself to be part of any collective. And I don't see a collective West. What I see is a group of politicians with increasing problems. We see governments hanging in the ropes. We see a leadership crisis. I had a summit meeting organized in Vienna with former Chancellor Schröder and Prime Minister Orbán. Chancellor Schröder was the last guardian of strategic autonomy of Europe, as you well know. And it was interesting because I could see there was a huge interest in these kind of events. And I see there are rather seismic changes about in Europe. The landscape is changing. And this is where I allow a slight criticism of you. With great power comes great responsibility. And I think you're neglecting the communication to the wider public in Western Europe, in old Europe, in the German-speaking part of Europe, because you as a person, as a president, as a politician with your country, you're an extremely important topic in politics. And if you would communicate, if you would encourage these people, this could have an effect without interfering in elections, but it would have an effect in helping to bring about changes that many people want in Europe. And my question is, do you share this view, and would you be willing to give interviews to independent journalists without naming some present here? Thank you very much for your answer.
You know this journalist. You know, you mentioned Chancellor Schröder. I have very good personal relations with him. We used to have them, and we have them now. He's an amazing person, an amazing for the current political class. It's not ironic. It's not an exaggeration. Why is he amazing? Because he has his own opinion. And he words it freely. When the relations with Russia started to deteriorate, he was not afraid of expressing his position and presenting them publicly. Well, look, they started to accuse him of all cardinal sins. I started not to interfere there, not to comment. But what was he doing? What did we do together? We've built the Nord Stream to supply gas to Europe. What was bad about it? Now, Germany does not have Russian gas. And the heavy consequences of that, not only due to that factor, but also due to that, is what... Well, we don't see anything that could be a substitute for that gas. When I speak to my experts, well, it's not what I'm saying. I'm just repeating the words of the experts. I don't want to offend anyone. It won't sound good, but still, I've asked my colleagues and experts, and I said, what's Europe missing right now? And the response is, they have a deficit of brain. It's not because they're stupid. Is because the decisions in economic sphere are made by politicians who have nothing to do with the economy. The decisions are politicized, badly calculated, that have no real ground for it. The same applies to the green agenda. Yes, it's a noble cause, naturally. Are we concerned by that? Yes. Are we afraid? Yes. But should everyone be scared into pushing through the solutions that cannot be implemented? That's not fair for the voters. Yes, green agenda is great. Yes, there should be new tools and technologies, indeed. But can you survive? Can such an economy as German, can it survive purely on green energy? No, it will be shrinking. Or you have to go back to the coal power generation, as it happens in many European countries, including Germany. So they have scared people. They've scared the public opinion. They got rid of nuclear power generation. Later, they got rid of coal power generation. They don't need gas. No, they still need gas, though they started to supply it through different channels.
So Chancellor Schroeder was doing what was needed and not to serve Russia's interests. He did not create any conditions for us to make profit. What he was doing to serve the interests of the German people. He was fighting to ensure the best terms possible for the supply of gas, for the building of the infrastructure, and judging by what is happening in the German economy after these opportunities have been lost. He was very good at his job. We can see, so it's no longer there, and right now see what they have lost. He was doing what was needed to be done. He did take decisions that were widely unpopular in terms of internal politics. He put his political career at a risk, and he did that deliberately when unpopular decisions had to be taken to curb the social spending. But economically, that was a sound plan. He knew that would have negative political consequences for his career, and yet he did it anyway. Here's a person who took decisions not in his own interests, but to serve the interests of Germany. And he did the same in foreign policies. Let's remember the developments in Iraq. He was against the American intervention in Iraq, and he spoke about that publicly, just as Jacques Chirac, much to the displeasure of those who thought differently and those who gave the orders from across the ocean. In the end, he got chased out. He's a person with integrity and also a consistent person. People like that are not numerous. They do exist in Europe, but, you know, very few, just a handful. You know, one hand will be enough, you know, to count them on your fingers. But I think, that said, these processes will still continue to happen in Europe because people can see what is happening in real life. They can see a growing gap between the ruling elite that are forced to be guided by some external interests due to different reasons. I'll be very cautious in formulating that, and the rest. And, you know, the number of politically, domestically oriented political forces is going to grow. You said that I'm avoiding communicating with the wider public. Well, I do not think it is proper for me to address directly the citizens of those countries whose leadership basically anathemizes us, unwilling to listen to any arguments we have to offer. Yes, we can work and, you know, We've got the media, but they are being hounded despite the proclaimed freedom of speech. You know, our media are prevented from doing their work both in Europe and the US. Enormous difficulties are being created to hamper their work. Ask them and they will tell you. We have just one thing we can count upon, that is Russia today, because we do not have as ramified a system as the Anglo-Saxon world can boast of. But they're even afraid of Russia today. But I'm open as circumstances allow. You know, I met with Tucker Carlson from time to time. I've got contacts with journalists, Western journalists included. So, well, go ahead. Well, talking directly, you know, it often leads to an unhealthy reaction. There's this stream of consciousness, as it was. You remember the new president-elect, he was accused of ties with Russia. There were hearings in Congress. There was an inquiry. And they found nothing, because there was nothing to find. They could corroborate or prove nothing, because there was nothing to prove. And, you know, so much energy was spent on that. It could have been spent better elsewhere. And I do not want to create problems for anyone, honestly. So third and fourth, I can tell you that all internal political processes have to stay inside respective countries. And these nationally oriented political forces will continue to grow, not because I say anything to those like-minded people we've got in both in Europe and the US. No, this is going to happen because these are the natural laws of internal development. And this is the surest foundation for forthcoming changes, which are sure to happen. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.